order. Niggas is feeble. I'm calm but violent like Ben Siegel. I'm anti-evil. Plus I touch a desert eagle. My life's illegal. Slaves and prisons are equal. The devil's lethal. He killed 100 million people. I'm Darkman, Iceman, Lao, Wu-Tang Clan, Trafficante, Sensei, Caprende, my Marine Corps, straight from the...
This time I'm gonna let it all go.
Yes, it's the second hour of the show, Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. That's right. I don't know. It's you got to pay attention, people. You have to. Oh man, if C-SPAN wasn't so boring. I don't know. Things are kind of getting a little hyped now. Especially since they're letting some hot tail come up in the place. I'm sorry. Let me be PC here. So they're letting responsible, equal females in politics. I remember as a kid, you know, just flip to the channels of my cable TV. Nothing on. Absolutely nothing good to watch on. And I stop on C-SPAN because it's, to use that, boring. And it's like, what are these old white bald dudes doing? What are they talking about? You know, this is like so mortifying. They all move like the living dead, speaking in tongues. It's actually kind of scary for a small child to tune into C-SPAN. If you think of it like that. But, I mean, boring, though. Boring. Tune in to C-SPAN today. Oh, man, I think it's... maybe it's just because I'm an adult now. I don't know. Most adults will not tune in to C-SPAN either. It's so damn boring. But because I know the language now, I'll tune in to C-SPAN stuff and just... What seems to be the most innocuous, most mundane it would seem like that to your average person, but I'm sitting there foaming at the mouth in rage about what they're talking about. Foaming at the mouth. Almost every time I tune into any C-SPAN viewing, I'm enraged at what they're talking about and what plans they have for humanity. I'm enraged.
Yeah.
Yes, Frank, you're still there. All right.
Yes, I'm still there. I'm still.
Sorry, I got to open up every hour with a monologue there.
No, okay. I'm wondering if you had a call last night from Florida, a guy from Florida.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to be as politically correct as he could. And he seemed like a very nice guy. You remember the guy? You remember who it was?
Yeah, over 9,000.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if he ever heard of Rosewood.
Well, I have.
I know you know, but I wonder if he said he would probably say no. Just listening it's going by his responses to the show itself, he would probably say no, he has never heard of Rosewood, and he would and I don't want to speak for someone, but it's likely that there would be the second response would be, well, it doesn't matter, that was ancient history. And you see, even he can't evolve and go further unless he's artificially pumped up with nationalist adrenaline from MAGA and so forth. So you got to experience this stuff.
Well, those that don't learn from history, you know the saying, are doomed to repeat it, right?
Yeah, but he might not think he has to. I'm trying to be as politically correct as possible. He might not think he has to.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? It could be your neighbor. It could be even a family member. But they just don't understand. And I think a perfect example of the madness that has encapsulated Florida for a long time was Rosewood and what happened there. How they basically, this is not at the same level as Tulsa, but they destroyed that community.
Yep.
So when someone says, well, Black Lives Matter this and blah, blah, they have no clue. No clue. And I
guess it's one of those things, you have to be there to see a mob of white people burning down a black church or stringing someone up and beating them and stabbing them. Yeah, before lighting them on fire. It's just one of those things you have to see.
Well, that can be too much for certain people because they can't handle it. They're not going to jump out the 34th story window. They're not going to do that. But they're also, but they have developed very sophisticated mental gymnastics to just brush it aside. And you can't heal. No nation who can heal continuing to act that way. You have to heal. You have to really heal. But if you think you've been pumped up, and if you think that everything is yours to the taking, well, no, you're not going to try to even heal. So that scar tissue builds up over and over and over. And next thing you know, got a cancerous tumor or a pulse. I think it's a pulse.
An infection or something. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. That's a great analogy.
So I try to do my best to respect RBN callers and others. If you only listen to what I listen to when I'm not on RBN. Whoa. Oh, and by the way, I want to answer a hip-hop question, too, when you get a chance. There seems to be some changes in the thinking and in the musical output of certain hip-hop artists because they're tired of being beaten up over their lyrics. You heard that?
Well, I do know that there are a couple of amateur rappers here and there who are getting arrested, not just because they're saying they're killing people in the lyrics, but they've actually killed someone and they're confessing in their lyrics, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, who the heck are they?
Oh, wow. There's some kid in Tallahassee, I know, because Sheriff Grady got on his podium and started talking about it. Anytime anything happens in is it Tallahassee or Tampa? Well, one of those cities. Grady, Sheriff Grady, he loves doing a sermon. He should have been a preacher. He gets up on his podium and talks about whatever last crime that happened. He puts up pictures and he does a speech. But yeah, that's the last one I saw. There was a kid who spent most of his life in juvenile hall lockup.
Yes, yes, yes.
He gets out at the age of 18, goes and buys a gun, and kills someone 30 days later. And yeah, this guy's apparently a rapper, and he just and start talking about the murder and the lyrics. And the approximation from the time period it happened, the details matched up with the crime scene that nobody's talking about yet. Yeah, they wouldn't got him. And that's not the first time this happened. I know of at least two or three other cases where some in Atlanta rappers talking about somebody they've murdered. And they're in prison now. So I mean, I'm not gonna be upset about that. I mean, if you kill somebody, yeah, go to prison. Fine. But I think you should probably have some sort of smarts for, I don't know, self-preservation. You know, at least, you know, preserve your freedom. If you're gonna confess in your apps, you might as well be really hardcore and just go kill somebody in front of the police.
Well,
turn yourself in.
Well,
huh?
They are at heart, they're punks.
They're
cowards at heart. And when you dig down deep, when you uncover this video of so-called, they have absolutely no idea what a gangster is. Okay, not anybody gangster.
No. Well, not like the old days.
Growing up in Newark, we would run down the street chasing and having fistfights with cops.
Yeah,
for heaven's sake. These punks can't do that. They run away.
Exactly.
And I'm not bragging about that, but what I'm saying, this is one of the manifestations of the dysfunction that has permeated a lot of the black community, a lot of areas of the black community. Now I can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I could never, ever, ever, ever allow myself to listen to that type of madness.
You kind of have to be in it, come from it. You kind of have to, I mean, I understand it. I mean, I listen to pretty much everything. I understand it. I understand the rage. I understand the outcry. I understand the gangster mode. You know?
Well,
I've been through it all. I've had to be a gangster. I've been everything.
Well,
I've done everything. Go ahead.
Well, now, let me ask you a question now. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But let's say, for example, you were invited to the home of Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
And you knocked on the door and you said, "Hey, Jay-Z, is your B home?" Talking about his mom.
Oh, talking about his mom. No, you wouldn't call his mom that. That's what you call his girl, though.
Or his wife or girlfriend or any female member of his family. What do you think would happen to you?
Well, he'd tell you to get the hell out of his house, probably. It depends on how close you are to him. If we're close, he'd probably give me an answer.
All right. You and I both know what would happen or would not happen. Okay, the second scenario. You, after being criticized for a way of dealing with life which is negative, and you say to yourself, "Well, you know, listen, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just trying to show what we're dealing with and what I go through with." All right, fine. That's Now, how about this? Second scenario.
Kicking their ale.
right. Second scenario. You open your, you wake up, you open the shades or on the, your blinds in your home, and you got slobber running all down your cheek. Your hair is unkempt, and you just trashy looking. Would you open your blinds and let the world see who you are?
Blinds? I wouldn't open the door that
your
way.
Your curtains, open your windows, put it like that.
I wouldn't open my door, answer the door. I don't think anybody's going to see you through your blinds, but...
I'm trying to trap you on this thing now.
Well, I mean, I'm always in a dark space. I keep my place dark. Nobody's going to be able to see me if I open up my blinds.
I'm talking about what is the appearance that you would give to the world when you first wake up?
Appearance to the world, you know, if it's just personal friends, family, you know, I don't care. But to the world itself, of course, you got to look like something, you know. Go to the bathroom for 5 minutes, take care of yourself, and come out, whatever.
So when that brother tells you that I'm just trashing the world, I'm trashing elements of the black community because I'm keeping it real.
hey, hold on now.
I'm sorry, BS.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I do know. Are you talking about the ghetto people, the ones that will walk around with half their hair braided, pick in the other part of their hair, you know, most not a muscle shirt, but like a what they call wife beaters, and all that, half gold teeth, the other half of the teeth missing. I mean,
they put the gold cap back on the teeth before they come out to greet the press.
But you know, that's everywhere though. That's even. I would say that's about one level above white trash, though. That's everywhere.
But that is not who we are, or should strive to be.
I would say definitely comb your hair and brush your teeth before you go and answer the door. If somebody's knocking on your door, sure.
No.
Or at least go through the peephole and see if it's somebody worth looking good for. I don't know.
Well, yeah, okay.
There's a thousand scenarios.
I can hear you wiggle your way out of this.
Well, I mean, time is very precious to me. If I can save 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, so I'm busy doing something. I'm building something. I'm doing something. So, I get it from my little miss every day. I hate your beard. You need to shave it. Hey, I hear it every day. Have I taken the 5 minutes to go and shave it? No.
No, the whole point of this, and I could have made it a little more trashy, but was to say that we present ourselves differently to the world compared to what we really are deep down inside.
Now, yes, absolutely.
Did you see, this? I think this is historic, the 60 minutes. They did a segment with interviewing Rick Rubin. And Rick Rubin is supposedly the fairy godfather of hip hop. He was so.
Oh, why am I thinking Pee Wee Herman?
No, Rick Rubin. Oh no, Rick. Pee Wee Herman.
Rick Rubin,
yes. Not him. Oh, God, no, please.
Rick Rubin. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, Rick Rubin.
And for those who are anti-Semitic, they'll recognize right away his last name. But anyway, Rick Rubin was his name. And he was interviewed by 60 Minutes about three or four months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it shocked the hell out of me because I didn't know that one of the most powerful influences, if may not be the powerful influence, was this guy. He even had Chuck D sit down and say, and praised him about the generation of hip hop and rap. I was stunned, absolutely stunned.
But what's stunning about it?
That he had so much influence.
Uh-huh.
And the hip hop community, and many of them are kowtowed and beg him, but they had to acknowledge his supremacy in the generation, in the genesis of hip hop.
Uh-huh.
Stunned me completely. Now you can go online, and it's the 60 Minutes website will give it to you. It's 60 Minutes interviews Rick Rubin.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I just
Do you think his influence it should have been? I mean, what's shocking is should he not be accredited, or is he not a good influence? What are you trying to get at?
Maybe both. Because
okay.
I don't know enough about the history and the genesis of hip hop to say one way or the other. But when I see Chuck D, when I saw them interviewing in the segment. The influence of this guy, and here's how he looks. He's kind of fat, short, kind of fat. His hair he has a beard that's about, I don't know, 10 inches long. Completely white. He looks like a hippie from 1960s.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's been that long.
So what...
Hip hop is no longer hip. I don't know. It's old
zone.
Art now.
We are in a twilight. The black community is in a twilight zone, and that's part of the reason why I am the way I am. And that's why whenever I have a chance to pounce, I do. So the guys in Florida that you talked to yesterday, I think a nice, easygoing guy. But he's incorrect on a whole lot of areas, I think, in my opinion. And the next time you're on, ask him about Rosewood.
I definitely will. I definitely will.
Oh my God.
I think, you know, there just needs to be an acknowledgement of. I mean, it's so hard because. Everybody, I mean, we've worked so hard as a people, as black people, work so hard to get the recognition, not just for our suffering, but just the fact that we exist, we deserve the right to exist, and just let us be on our way. That's been our fight, but everybody else has jumped on to our fight, just basically to bury us, I think, just to bury any possible success we have with it. You got the LGBT community demanding, you know, entitlement, demanding. And you got the white women, oh, so hard being a woman. You know, and it's just more and more people that have just totally eclipsed our cause and pushed us down to the bottom. And I think it's just by design. We're never going to get it. We're never going to, you know. And there were some, again, I got to reference the Gab one more time here. You know, these racist, oh my God. They had a picture up because there was this guy holding a big sign, black guy holding a big sign that says, "You should be happy. We just want reparations and not revenge." and then just a bunch of angry white people just posting their crap all over that. So, and then I think this, I don't know. I don't, this clear and simple answer is, yeah, you know, we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule. You know, we didn't. You know, slavery didn't end when Lincoln said it ended, okay? The news was kept from as many people as humanly possible and was kept from the slaves for as long as possible. So I think that was maybe another, 40, 80-year process, getting the news?
Yeah.
To people... How many people spent their whole life being a slave and not knowing that they were free? So, I mean, at every point, we've been milked and cut at and taken advantage of. The reason why we have contraceptives. Oh, so the black people can stop reproducing. Let's just kill them off that way. They can't reproduce. All the illegal abortions, castration. I mean, at every point in turn, especially in U.S. history, has the black person been victimized?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's something that troubles me every single day.
And to hear, you know, woman's issues, I just... And what's even worse... I seen this on the Young Turks the other day. Black woman reporter, pretty as all hell. Too much makeup though. Trying to look like Beyonce. she's all talking about, you know, us black women need to start backing the white women so that we can get our rights and freedoms. And see, that's the problem right there. Even black people, our sex is divided. No, you should be supporting your black man, not white women.
Yeah.
You know, and I've experienced this personally. You know, I've been, not to be too exposing here. I've been with 100 white girls, at least. I've been with maybe 3 Hispanic girls. I've been with, I would say about 3 black girls. Why? Well, it's not because of preference, exactly. I mean, I love women. All shapes, forms, colors, sizes. It's like...
Less
brainwashing.
Drama. Less
drama. Well, it's not even that. It's the brainwashing. You know, most girls hear me speak. They hear me talk. They're like, let's get this commercial break. I'm on a tear here. Most girls, they hear me talk, especially for the first time. Like we're talking on MySpace or whatever, you know, that was my heyday. Message, then we get a phone number, we talk on the phone, they're hooked. Anybody who hears my voice, they're hooked. Girls, they hear me talk, they're in love. However, I mean, this is true with the majority of the girls. The black girls, they hear me talk, I'm suspect. I'm an Oreo. I'm, you know, there's all kinds of things as to why they shouldn't, why I don't fit their type. Because I speak in the King's English, perhaps. That's a turn off. I don't know.
Well, that's what they're that's what they're oriented toward.
Why are you dressed so preppy? What are you talking about? I have a belt on. That's preppy. My pants aren't around my knees. You know, you're not gangster enough. You're not thug enough for me. Why do you want a gangster? Why do you want a thug? So I've not been with many black women. I can say their minds have been controlled and polluted.
Yeah, I'm quite, that's part of it, yeah.
The materialism on top of it. Your car ain't got no rims, you don't have no, you're not covered head to toe in gold and diamonds. They don't want you. They're not asking if I have an IRA. They're not asking if I have stocks. You know? And it's just, it's poisonous.
Now, are you saying this is overwhelming majority of black women that you have encountered?
This is my personal experience. Yes.
Now, are you sure now? I'm going to spank you a little bit. Are you sure this, that you
I'm not
have...
saying this is everybody's reality. I'm saying this is my experience.
Okay, all right. Well, are you sure that it's not a fetishism, an unconscious fetishism that you have?
Unconscious fetishism that I have? Why would it be encumbered upon me when... If I find an attractive female, it's an attractive female. But
no, well, I love...
I love women. I don't have a certain type. Like I said, I love women of all shapes, colors, and sizes.
Well,
so I don't know why you would say it's a fetish.
Yeah. Because there is such a psychological phenomenon that I have found. I see it all the time. And it is a certain way of looking at European women as or white women. It's a certain type of social way of being that appeals to certain appeals to a lot of black men. Now,
I get where you're going. Yeah.
If it's something that the woman is also corresponding to her emotionally corresponding to, well, then you have a matchup. But if it isn't, because most, remember now, even though women send out signals, men make the overtures.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So she has to say yes to your psychic overtures. And if you're just putting them out, unconscious that you are aware of these psychic, I got the worst term, psychic overtures towards towards white women, then the white woman's going to pick up on it, and the black women would not. Now, if you encounter a black woman who's kind of trashy, and they're unfortunately they're out there, then she's going to turn you off.
I don't know. I think it's just they feel as though it could be that they're trashy. It could be that they found a place in which they think they cannot rise above, maybe. Thinking maybe they're only ever going to get somebody who's ghetto like them?
Well,
I don't know.
All of that
I may be I just kind of went because I don't have to do all that stuff. Even though I'm more gangster than anybody they'll ever date. I mean, I'm ex-military. I used to live a certain life too, and many different kinds of lives. So just because, you know, a guy doesn't want to be a crime boss and wants to look a certain way and be proper, you know, I don't think I should get the brush off because of that, you know?
Right, but you remember, and here we go now. You ready? Are you ready for this?
Hit me.
One of the things that, we talked about this before, one of the things that is biblical references is the curse of Ham, of dark skin, and whose member was shamelessly elongated. Biblical reference right there, but Jewish, and the irony is Jewish scribes codified this. So that's part of it. I think I keep saying that I think it's fetishism on both sides.
Because I'm still not seeing it though. Are you saying that white women are naturally wanting the bigger black member?
Well, I think most women would. whatever their ethnicity, most women would. And that's why 75-year-old European women from Czechoslovakia go to Jamaica for a trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because their emotional
What happens in Jamaica stays in Jamaica.
Their sexual emotional urges are not fulfilled.
Right.
And if we lived in a sane world, there would be no big deal. But we don't.
So. You're putting some of it together for me. I mean, I am Native American and I am Caribbean. So, yeah, I don't know. I think white girls are just not a problem. I generally go out in the population and just pick one and boom.
I hear you. Physiologically now, if you evolve evolve from a hot, expansive climate, your appendages, whatever level they take, are going to be expansive. When you're dealing with ice cold ice that is 50 years. Look,
it's the cold. That's why.
Okay. All right. There we go.
Okay. All right.
We evolved depending on our environment. The Asians have slanted eyes because of. That was a barrier against the cold wind, the biting cold wind. Africans in Sudan, long johns, I to call them now, and black skin, because of their environment.
Mandingos. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, please. I mean,
well, you know...
And plus, there's one other thing, and this is not a criticism of any ethnic group, but when you have a woman who's after you, she's after you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think that's all that should be said. She's after you. And it does. And it almost doesn't matter, because I've seen the smallest, most petite Filipino women go after some big, big guys.
Women are a lot more forgiving than men when it comes to physicality.
Yeah. And they sense and they feel things that we have no idea about. No idea about. We think one thing about them, and they're looking at us from the third eye. Top and bottom, by the way.
I think it's, you know, going after that male that can protect and that can provide and can excel in the environment and social world they're in. And I think that's why women just chase the white women chase after me like crazy. I'm always flooded with white women. In the States mainly, although there are some very curious Polish women here, but no, in the States. But again, I think that's something that got broken with the people, and you know, it's black women. They're not looking at what is either they are. It's an extreme, I think. Either they're looking for that young ghetto thug that it must have turned into a fetish. It's not really something I think that's cultural. Because then you have the other black women, a complete 180, who goes after the white guy because he pays all the bills. Gets her hair done, gets her nails done. She has nothing to worry about in the world.
And if her white cop, if the white cop kills her husband, I'm not saying she wouldn't mourn, but she's not going to lose too much social standing than she would otherwise.
Well, I mean, but you see, I mean, it's a complete 180. I could go, right now, I can go to McDonald's, for example, and if there's a black girl working behind the counter or drive-thru, I can ask her out, and she'll look me up and down and hear me talk and laugh. Like, boy, please.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And then,
sure.
Like, why? Where are you from? You don't sound like you're from around here.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the kind of stuff I would get. But I can go into, I can put on, you know, a nice suit or whatever and go to a nice bar somewhere and grab any white woman out of that place I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just a major disconnect that I deal with all the time. I would like, you know, more experience, more. I would like to taste more of the world, you know, Asian, Puerto Rican, whatever. But I felt limited throughout my life, just, I guess, based on where I live, because of, I don't know, how did we get this way? That is the thing. How do we get this way?
Yeah, because of social orientation, and I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, when I came back to the States, he said I felt like there was a weight taken off my back. Mm-hmm. He said that he came back to a friendly community, but he could feel the bigger the social negative, the cops are looking at you, and you know, who are you? What are you? What are you? All of that. We don't realize just how the madness has impacted us at the point where it's the way we breathe. So we breathe. We breathe. Now, and you add all of that to social stigma, and then required. Anyway,
yeah.
It's another layer, and then we have parental layers, and then it's amazing that we can breathe at all when we come back to this country. And I felt that same thing 30 years uh-huh. ago. 30 years ago, coming back from Germany and Turkey. So it's tough, man. You're going to have to make the best decisions what your heart tells you. Your quote unquote your heart tells you.
Because I'll tell you what. I'm coming back to the States. I'm not looking forward to looking at that crisscross patterned sky.
Oh my God, that's a whole nother dilemma.
And you talk about breathing. You know, all that nano crap being dumped on us.
Oh God.
Not looking forward to that at all.
No.
I felt some ease. I felt some, you know, target individuals ask me all the time, did coming over to Poland ease your symptoms? And it's like, well, in some forms, yes. And I think the intensity of the signal bombardment and all that stuff is not as intense because I'm not as loaded up with nano aluminum. I mean, I don't get me wrong. They spray around the world. But I might see some chemtrailing done maybe once a month here.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Once a month. And so it's not every day, all day, like in America.
Yeah. I see it all the time. I see it just about every day. Depending on which area of the sky I observe. But
it probably has something to do with population density. I don't know.
Lord have mercy.
But...
Again, whenever we talk about subjects like this, you never get certain calls.
Well, I mean, it's...
Because they don't want to know.
I had some material lined up, but I love talking to you, Frank. And so it's just as good as a show. I know you want to... keep your ethnicity a secret. I always pitch you though as a guy who's mixed. You're definitely mixed, right? You can at least say that, right?
Mixed with what?
I don't know. You're mixed something.
I'm a human. I don't know. I don't know what
you're a human. All right. Well, you know. You know so much about the black struggle. You gotta at least be half black, right?
Could be.
Could be. You're not gonna affirm anything.
What can I say? I don't know. I mean, I present myself to the world every morning as fresh as I can, rather than trash. rather than a trash can.
Well, I think we're be thankful for.
I think the thing that caused me to open my eyes years ago was when his name was, he happened to be named Mr. Shapiro in my grammar school. He said, open your eyes and keep your ears open. And he said this because the day before, Malcolm had been assassinated. And to me, that was the opening. He said, he just said, pure and simple, open your eyes and keep your ears open. There's a whole lot of world out here. And I've never been the same since.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I screw up every